Welcome to HOWC Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at heartofworshipchurch.com.
Hey guys, it's Miranda Wright, and today we're beginning a new podcast series called Honoring Godly Men. It's going to be a few episodes long, and each one we're going to look at the lives and ministry of some of the amazing godly men in my life that have been very influential in the way that I have seen them live in both their private life and in their ministry, because I believe it's very important for this current generation to have that testimony and that demonstration of what it looks like to walk in true biblical humility and integrity and selflessness, because without it, the only thing they have to emulate are the counterfeits. So you're going to want to make sure that you listen to this entire series and send it to your friends and family, especially those who are called into the ministry. Because in the world that we live in right now, in this present time and spiritual climate, there is a very serious and intentional and satanic effort to devalue men, their role, and their importance. So I want to take a few days to counter that and honor the godly men in my life and the things that I have witnessed and experienced and the way those things have affected me individually, but also the masses. I pray that this would be eye-opening and influential for those who maybe have not personally experienced it, because we know that not everybody has a good godly pastor or a good godly father. But that doesn't mean that it can't start with you. That was what happened with Abraham. He was the beginning of a promise and a covenant and a legacy. Why? Because God trusted him to instruct his children to be a good godly father. But the scripture tells us that his dad was an idol maker. So it's okay if you don't have this experience. That's why I'm giving you a testimony and a witness of it, so that you can then emulate it, so that you can aspire to it, so that you can say, if God's grace can do it through them, that he can do it through me, so that I can start a legacy that will affect future generations. But I implore you of this, that if you do have these examples, if there are truly godly men in your life, your husband, in your life, your husband, your pastor, your father, your grandfather, a mentor, whoever it is, honor them. Be a witness. The Bible says for us not to boast of our own accomplishments, but let another man do it. So I'm encouraging you to do that, because they do need to be encouraged, and the world needs their testimony and example probably more now than any other time in history. The example that they have set forth for so many and the lives that they have affected in their obedience, their sacrifices, and their selfless humility. Because the world is trying very hard to convince little girls right now that they don't need men. But that is a lie, plotted and conceived by demons that desire to destroy them and their children. And we all have a part to play in the body of Christ and in our children's lives. And a well-rounded family is a blessing to many. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 says this: nevertheless, neither is a man independent of the woman, neither is a woman independent of the man in the Lord. So I'm sorry if somebody told you in some conference that you didn't need a man, or that a man didn't need a woman, or that they were somehow separate and apart from one another. The scripture says different. It says that neither one can work independent of the other. God has designed it that way. Everyone is dependent. We are all part of the body of Christ, and we have to follow his leading and submit to the way that he designed things. We talked about Abraham a little bit earlier, how the Bible says that God chose him because he knew that he would be a good father to his children, and therefore a good reflection of who God was to his children, so that through them, the world would come to know him. We read this in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, where God said, "For I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they should keep the way of the Lord." That, in essence, is the role of a good father. Many don't have that example, and I understand that. but I did. Our church has many of them because of the influence of the man that God chose to found it, who allowed himself to be truly influenced by Jesus. The problem is that nowadays many are being influenced by the culture, by this celebrity antichrist Christianity, the showmanship, the performances, those that are trading presentation for the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I don't fully blame this younger generation that they've missed it. Instead, I want to implore them to turn off the TVs, the smartphones, and the computer screens, and go find a man of God, humble, full of integrity, wisdom, someone who has gone through the wilderness and has the experience to teach them, to lead them, to disciple them. Because what I'm seeing happening is many that are just watching people moving in counterfeit anointings, operating through antichrist spirits with signs and lying wonders to validate it. They're seeing all of the praise and the accolades of men that come to inflate their ego about it, and they're emulating it. Many times just repeating what they're hearing without even knowing what they're saying, not understanding that they are helping the enemy to spread bad seed because they didn't go through the wilderness or spend their time at the feet of Jesus to get a real revelation and to also have his heart so that they know how and when to relay it. Because yes, we are called to influence others, but only after that we have allowed ourselves to be fully influenced by Jesus. That's why Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the men in my life have done that in the eyes of many witnesses and have generations of harvest after harvest of good fruit to prove it. So I will testify of the life that Christ lived through them, that their example might be an influence to others, because it's needed. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, we read this, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That is what Jesus did, by the word of their testimony, and that they loved not their lives unto the death. That means that they overcame the enemy by what Jesus did, and the testimony of their life proves that he did it through them, that it works, that it's not just a dead letter on the pages of history, but that it is a right now present tense help in time of trouble and tribulation. And they loved not their lives, even to the point that they were willing to share that testimony of Jesus Christ, of what he did, no matter what it cost them. Even if it cost them the big stages, the masses, and the accolades of men. Believe me, a big following is not the telltale sign that you have the anointing. Read the Bible and you'll see that. More often than not, it was an evidence of the opposite. So again, you need to get to know the character of Jesus, the Word of God. You need to find someone who has truly lived that out. And let them disciple you. You better get under authority if you want to be trusted with authority. And don't let your flesh pick who it is. You better pray and ask the Holy Spirit, because only he can discern what's really in the hearts of men. And again, if you have found one of them, make sure you honor them. Make sure you stand against the grain of popular culture. Make sure you pray for them. Make sure you serve. Because that's what we were all called to do. Jesus gave us that example when he washed the disciples' feet, when he told his disciples that the Gentiles, the heathens, they desire to have preeminence over one another. In other words, to be the one on top, to be the celebrity preacher, to be the big dog. But Jesus said, that's not going to happen amongst my disciples. You're not called to that. You're called to desire to be the least of these, to wash each other's feet, to serve. You know what minister means? It means servant. And Jesus said, it is the servant that is the greatest in the kingdom. Because what I see happening a lot these days is that men and women will decide to give themselves a title because they think it gives them preeminence. Jesus himself said that if they desire preeminence, it means that they're not actually his. Okay, so if somebody decides to give themselves a title, that's a telltale sign that God did not call them. In the scripture, people walked in the function. And when people saw the function, other people decided to give them titles so that they could describe the function that they were working in. In present day ministry, people give themselves title and then try to invent the function to follow after it. And that's why you have so many false manifestations, so much self-promotion, so many false words. People prophelying instead of prophesying and doing damage to people's lives because they have no fear of God. Again, my friend, that as I do this in the next several podcasts, I ask that you would do the same to stand against the grain of popular culture that is rooted in such pride, rebellion, and error that drown people in destruction and set them up to be easy targets for Satan working through an antichrist spirit. The Bible says that the man is the covering over his wife and that his wife is a covering over the children. So let's talk a little bit about this because some have it twisted. A covering is not something that is controlling, selfish, or domineering. Again, remember, Jesus said that his disciples would not desire preeminence. That's men or women. There is no feminism in the kingdom, but neither is there dictatorship or oppression. A covering is actually a protection. It is selfless. It is loving. A covering is actually more akin to like what our skin does for our vital organs. It is a protection. It takes the blows so that the rest can continue to do their important work from the unseen, while the covering is standing in between them and the attacks of the enemy. This is what Jesus was for us. Just as a bridegroom, he covered us from the wrath of the judgment. He protects us from it. That's why Paul said that the relationship between a godly wife and husband is the same as that which is between Christ and the church, which is his bride. Remember that when Paul gave these examples, Christians were being murdered for their faith every single day. That's why he said, husbands, cover your wives, love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Understand the context and the culture and the time in which these words were released. This was no light thing to be a covering. For many of you, seeing the atrocities that took place not that long ago in Israel, when Hamas came in and murdered men, women, and children, this reality should be a little more vivid that to be a husband, to be a leader, to be a pastor over a congregation, to be a covering over others is very serious. It's not something prestigious. It's something selfless. Just like the example that Jesus gave us, to give up everything that we want to tend to the needs of others, to give up our very lives, that theirs might be covered. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other to be better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but let every man instead look on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross." So the next time that old antichrist spirit tries to tell you that you need to be somebody important, you need a lot of likes and clicks and shares and accolades, that you need a big audience, it says, remember Jesus, that he had all power and authority and title and dominion, but yet he came in the form of a servant, and most people hated him for it. But of course, God honored him. Heaven adores him. Those who have the real Holy Spirit recognize his greatness. So you just honor the Father. And when you really believe that he is who he is, that he did what he did, and that he meant what he said, that it was the truth poured out from heaven And in like manner, my friend, I remind you of this, that the scripture tells us that if we honor a prophet, we will receive a prophet's reward. If we honor an evangelist, we will receive a similar reward. Because when you honor those things, you're honoring Christ working through these individuals, and God sees that. And you honor him because Jesus does nothing but the will of the one who sent him. So whether you realize this or not, you honor the Father in heaven when you honor the fathers that honor him with their lives, their sacrifice, and their obedience. That is a ministry. That is a work. That is a function of the Holy Spirit. So again, over the next several days, I will be sharing testimonies of the godly men in my life that have covered me so that I could be the godly wife, minister, which is but a servant of God, and mother to many. Because I have no delusions about it. I know that without them, I would be nothing. Just like without God, they would be nothing. Because we all need a covering. So I will close today's podcast with this. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says to let another man praise thee and not your own mouth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So Father, as we close in prayer today, as we begin this new series, we ask that you would give us revelation, that you would help us to recognize those who are truly used by your Spirit, their selflessness, their sacrifices. Sometimes we see the blessings in their life, but we don't see the sacrifices that led to it. The testing, the wildernesses, the rejection, the humbling situations. Father, we ask that you would honor those who honor you. We ask that you would bless them and protect them, that you would be a covering over our coverings. We lift up our leaders to you as you instruct us to do in Ephesians, that they would be led by you, that they would hear you clearly. We come against every assignment of the enemy that comes to distract and to attack them in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to shake off the influence of an antichrist spirit and an antichrist culture that draws us to put value on productions and boastful self-promotions. Help us to remember that Jesus was humble, that he was born in a barn, while the Pharisees and kings that were full of an antichrist spirit were in the palaces and the big temples, drawing in the masses. And it was good enough for you to walk amongst fishermen and to bring hope and healing to the least among men, and correction where correction was needed. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have allowed you to do the same through them in our lives, that we might not be overtaken by the lies of Satan, who desires to sift us, as Jesus warned Peter, but they prayed for us. Today we pray for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, honor, bless, protect, and keep them. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. This program was brought to you by HOWC Media Ministries. For more messages like this or information about our ministry, please visit us online at heartofworshipchurch.com.